Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. When is the last time that you saw an anchor of a newscast look into the camera and say, "Now for some good news today"? Been a while, hasn't it? Well, you know, I told you at least twice in this series already that in chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20 of the book of Romans, it's full of bad news. I mean, it's bad news. There's no way around it. But you have to remember the overall theme, heartbeat of the book of Romans is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, the euangelion, the good news of Christ. And we have to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20 as just one page of many pages, but that one page is bad news, but the rest of it is great news. And so today, we're going to talk to you, but now there is good news. And I want you to take your Bible, look with me to chapter 3, and I want to read today verse 21 through verse 31. And I want you to read it with me, look with me. It's so important that you bring it up on an e-device, or if you have a copy of God's Word in print, just bring God's Word. In chapter 3, verse 21, the Scripture says, "But now." Stop. But now. All this bad news, something's changing. There's a big shift in this passage. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But that phrase, "but now," notifies us of that. "Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented Him as an atoning sacrifice in His blood, received through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented Him to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By one of works? No, on the contrary, by a law of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we uphold the law." Now, there are two major movements in this Bible text. And these two movements we're going to lift up today. The first movement is this. We hear about the badness of the bad news. the badness of the bad news. And the second movement will talk about the goodness of the good news. But before you get to the goodness of the good news, you have to know the badness of the bad news. And verse 23 reminds us of that badness of the bad news. In fact, after we're told some great news in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Verse 17 talks about being justified by faith. Faith to faith, from beginning to end. But then in chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, I mean, bad news hits. And we learn how bad it is. You say, Pastor, how bad is it? Bad. It's really bad. And in order for us to understand how really bad it is, we need to go back in it. Let me remind you today that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, we are told that sin is a universal problem. It's no respecter of anyone. We learn that we're all guilty, we're condemned, we're heading to judgment and hell. We even talked about that last week. We talked about how the severity of judgment and the situation is frightening. And it's all captivated by one verse here, even in the passage that I read a moment ago. And I'm going to illustrate the verse. Look at it with me. Chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means each person and every person in the entire human race, including all of us here today, we have sinned, meaning we have missed the mark. Like an archer would take the bow and the arrow and zoom the arrow, hopefully, to the bullseye or close to the bullseye. He'd at least hit the target. We don't even hit the target. The target is bringing God glory. The target is the glory of God. That's what God created us to do, is to bring Him glory. But when we fell in the Garden of Eden through sin of Adam and Eve, we inherited that sin. It's called original sin. And ever since then, we have been bent towards sin. We're sinners by our nature, and we're sinners by our choices. And God tells us in this condition that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's why He declares us in Romans chapter 3 that we're all guilty, we're all condemned, we're all heading to judgment, we're all destined to hell. And that's the badness of the bad news. I mean, that's really bad. But there is hope for you. There's hope for you because of the second movement that will consume us over these next few weeks together. And that is the goodness of the good news. The goodness of the good news. Now, if you have a copy of God's Word, one in print, or if you have an e-device, I want you to take that e-device and I want you to highlight two words, but now. If you have a written copy of God's Word, take a pen and I want you to circle that term, but now. Underline that term, but now. Put a rectangle around that phrase, but now. That is a powerful phrase. It's one of the greatest phrases in the New Testament because everything transitions. Bad news is looming. Bad news is dominating. Bad news is really bad. But now, there's a shift. But now things are different. Something's happened. I mean, a movement has begun. And that movement is good news is here. And the badness of the bad news is over. Aren't you glad? And that goodness of the good news is so powerful. In the Greek language, it's one continuing sentence talking about all these things I'm going to talk about here. I mean, Paul got wrapped up, dude. And he just couldn't stop talking about the extravagant love of God. You see, this goodness is so plentiful that I want to say it this way to you today. The goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news. Did you hear what I said? The goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news. So much that it's like the passage is screaming four declarations for us to see. So here's the way I want you to see it. The goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news. So much that he tells us that we can have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the first declaration. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. You believe that today? Oh, I'm telling you, it's powerful news. And all of that's because of what we believe about the righteousness of God. Let me cover that for a moment. When we talk about the righteousness of God, what that means is God is always right. How many of you believe God is always right? That God does what is right. I believe God does what is right, don't you? And God makes us right by faith. That's the righteousness of God. And so when we talk about the righteousness of God, we're talking about how God is always right. I vote for that. God does what is right. I vote for that. And God makes us right by faith. I vote for that. So by faith in Christ alone, God declares us right. And now we have faith in Jesus Christ alone. Chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 26. The righteousness of God is through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3, verse 26. Last three words, faith in Jesus. Now, we don't receive the right standing before God because of the law, because of the Ten Commandments. We don't receive right standing before God because the prophets. But both the law and the prophets tell us that we can come to God by faith. And as declared in verse 22, very clearly. And so what God does is that God declares us right before him when one thing happens. Not when we obey the law and not when we obey the prophets, but when we demonstrate faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's when God declares us right. And we're declared in right standing with God that moment, and it's only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So it makes me ask, and even the passage covers it, who can receive this amazing gift? Who can receive and have the ability to place faith in Jesus Christ alone? Who? Everyone can, the Bible says. Whoever believes, whoever places 100% faith. And think about it this way. I don't receive that salvation. I don't receive that goodness of the good news through the law. The law condemns me. Through baptism, that's nothing more than dunking if I do not know Jesus. I don't do it through morality. I'm not good enough. All those things are impossible. Remember, I'm guilty just like you're guilty. I'm condemned just like you're condemned. I have no hope just like you have no hope. But when we place our entire lives in Jesus, and when we put faith, 100% faith in Jesus Christ and him alone for our salvation, everything changes in our lives. And God takes all of us that were condemned and guilty, and he sets us in the right. And that goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news so much that God not only declares it through faith in Jesus Christ alone, but he says it another way to teach us another truth biblically. And that is that we are set free by grace alone. We're set free by grace alone. Verse 24. The scripture says what? They are justified freely by his grace. We're justified freely by His grace. Now I want you to think about this in these ways: legally, theologically, and practically. And no, you're not going to see what I just said on the screen. Legally, theologically, and practically. But I'm going to show you what I mean, and you will see that on the screen. When we talk about legally, we have to look at it that this word justified is a legal term. And it's a term that means even though you're guilty, King Jesus pardons you and sets you free, declaring you in right standing before God. That's what I mean legally. Paul used a legal term, a term justified, that you are guilty, but King Jesus walks in and pardons you, and He sets you free by your faith in Christ. And all of a sudden, you who were not standing before God right, now stand before God right, because you were set free by grace alone. It would be like this. It would be like someone commits murder. The whole courtroom knows they murdered this person. Both families know they murdered this person. Both attorneys know they murdered this person. The judge knows they murdered this person. The jury knows they murdered this person. And right before they were sentenced, someone walks in, greater than the judge, and he says, "Pardoned." We all know you're guilty, but we set you free. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what God does through Jesus Christ in your life. All of the universe knows we're guilty. All of our friends know we're guilty. All of heaven knows we're guilty. God knows we're guilty. We're all condemned. But Jesus walks in and He says, "Free." And He steps in, and when Jesus sets you free, what does John 8:36 say? He sets you free what? Indeed. That's what happens. And then we think about it theologically. We learn this, that Jesus Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you. Now you say, you've already lost me on that word. I'm going to come back to that word. But I want you to look at it theologically, because we got to get this. Jesus Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you. This means that Jesus Christ credits your account, and you are no longer guilty because His righteousness now covers you. A while ago, we talked about a legal term. In reality, that is an accounting term. But it's used theologically. And that is that Jesus Christ, His righteousness has been imputed to you. If you're reading a book, or you're hearing a preacher, and he says, "Well, you have been imputed, the righteousness of Jesus has been imputed upon you." If you're not careful, you don't even know what you're thinking about. What did he say? What did he mean? Well, that word means credited. It'd be like all the liabilities you have, and all of a sudden, all of the assets of heaven have covered all your liabilities and taken them away. So now you no longer have any liabilities. And that has all been covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't deserve it, but by grace, you have been set free by grace alone. So it's true legally, it's true theologically, and it's also true practically. Now I want you to hear this for a moment. This goodness of the good news, far excels the badness of the bad news, that when you have been set free by grace alone, he looks at you as being justified. So when he sees you, it's just as though you had never sinned before. That's why I use the word justified. You know you're condemned. You know you're bound. You know you're judged. You know you're done. But King Jesus steps in. He pardons you. King Jesus steps in and he places upon you his righteousness. And so when King Jesus looks at you, he looks at you like you have never sinned before. And that's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has covered you. You say, what do we mean by that? All right, let me illustrate it for you. Here's what it is. Now follow me now, because that's really important. And I want you to get what I'm going to say. Here it is. Here I am, guilty, condemned, sinful, headed to an eternity without God. There is no hope for me. I am the pure reality of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20. And verse 23, I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, not once, but continually. But then one day, I place my faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the moment I do that, God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he puts it over me and he covers me completely. I mean completely. And let me get this right. I'm a perfectionist. And he does it completely so that when God looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees my righteousness. And he looks at me just as if I had never sinned before. I have been set free by grace alone. Amen. That's good news. But the good news doesn't stop there. Remember what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. You don't pay for a gift, you receive a gift, and you have been set free by the grace of God alone. But not only is that good news that good, let me tell you something else about that good news. The goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news because you have also been redeemed by Christ alone. Redeemed by Christ alone. Verse 24 talks about that redemption. Look at it. They are justified freely by his grace. Remember that? Legally, theologically, and practically, freely by his what? His grace. Through what? Through the redemption. That's a word we don't know a lot about. Redemption. Through what? Through what? That is in Christ Jesus. You see, grace comes through redemption by Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. But let me talk about that phrase, redemption. That term redemption is what we would call a slave market term. Now, thank God in today's America, we don't deal with any of that overall. Except human trafficking now, which is still a major issue. But years ago, it would have been like someone who wanted to purchase a human slave. And this happens across the world, by the way. They want to purchase a human slave. And someone buys that slave. But unknowing to the slave, what they do is they set that slave free with his freedom. In other words, they're not like the typical slave owner that would take a slave and own a slave for his own advantage. But someone steps in and redeems the slave, purchases the slave, and says, there's no such thing as a human slave. You have been set free. Here's your freedom. You can go and live your life. Now listen, that's exactly what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We were slaves to our sin, bound to our sin, condemned to our sin, but Jesus Christ himself said, wait a minute, I will purchase your salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That you have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6 says. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which is the Lord's. So what we have to understand is that we have been released. We have been set free. And it doesn't matter whether it's a country. It doesn't matter whether it's a spiritual issue in relationship to being bound by sin. And we are handed our freedom. Freedom has a cost. And it cost Jesus his life to set you free. And you have been redeemed by Christ alone. Set free by Christ alone. So the goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news. So much that you can discover this all through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That you are set free by grace alone. That you have been redeemed through what? Through Christ alone. And that now your sins are washed away by Jesus' blood alone. Your sins are washed away by Jesus' blood alone. Verse 25 and 26 talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. It talks about it in a phrase, the atoning sacrifice. The atoning sacrifice in his blood. That's a word we don't normally use, that word atoning. But it means that Jesus' blood turns away God's wrath by offering a sufficient sacrifice for our sin, his own blood. Help me understand. I'll be glad to. You remember in Romans 1, it says that already the wrath of God is being released, and we are all under the wrath of God. When we are sinners, we are under God's wrath. Even Jesus said over in John 3 that we are already in that wrath and we're already condemned. Already condemned. So here we are under the wrath of God because we are bound to our sin and there is no hope for us. But through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus' blood at the cross, the wrath of God was satisfied. The wrath of God was turned away because finally, while the blood of a bull or the blood of a goat could never turn away the wrath of God, even though they tried, there is one blood that turns away the wrath of God and is the fully sufficient atonement for our sins, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And he talks about it right here. That we have received the complete washing away of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we have revealed to us God's righteousness, when we place our faith in Jesus alone, all of a sudden, our sins are washed away and we are set free from our sin. And we are truly cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The old hymn writer got it right years ago. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I realize that's a little strange for some of you to ever think about someone's blood giving an atonement, covering your sin. But we're not talking about somebody else's blood. We're talking about Jesus' blood. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was God. He is God. And Jesus gave his all for you because life is in the blood. I mean, we have been overwhelmed by the extravagant love of God. So much that we need to walk away today with two words in our mind. Two words in our mind. The first word is humility. Humility. In fact, in those last several verses of Romans 3, it talks about, well, surely we can boast. Oh, no, we cannot boast. Surely we can be arrogant. No, we cannot be arrogant. Because we did not earn our salvation. We did not merit our salvation. But when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ alone, and we were pardoned, and we were redeemed by grace alone, and we were set free by Christ alone and grace alone, and our sins were washed away, all of a sudden that badness of the bad news is no longer existent in our lives, and our lives are filled with good news, and we should be overwhelmed by the mercy of God, and our lives should be exuding humility. 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 Have you stopped long enough in your busy life and thought about how blessed you are that Jesus has done all this for you? Or have you known it so long, you're no longer overwhelmed with the mercy of God? We don't deserve it. Not one of us are good enough. But the mercy of God now floods our lives and floods our soul. So we should be humble about it. And we should be filled with gratitude, which is that second word. Humility and gratitude. Thanking God for his extreme love for us. Oh, I'm telling you how good God has been. And that goodness of the good news far excels the badness of the bad news. And all of that is settled when we exhibit faith in Jesus Christ alone. It all begins with a step toward God, a step of faith toward Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ and him alone. And that is good news, because the moment you step, you're declared righteous by God. You are set in the right because God is right. You are cleansed from your sin. You are redeemed by grace. And you are set free from all of your sin. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the fantastic message that we've been called to share with the world. But now there is good news. And I pray today, if you have never responded to that good news, today will be the day that you respond to the good news of Jesus and place your faith 100% in Jesus Christ alone.